Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was it a ghost? Was it a doppelganger? Or was it just their sleepwalking son?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
So share those real ghost stories with us. If you have one, you could call it in, 855-853-4802. Or if you don't really want to call it in, write it in. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And you could become a premium subscriber. You get advanced episodes, access to the entire archive, and no commercials. You could sign up through Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon's here.
I am. You know, I love the doppelganger thing. And those of you who know me know that I love to do art history doppelgangers.
You do a really good job at that.
I do. And I will find, you know, a painting of someone from 500 years ago, and then I will find their current day. Usually it's a celebrity, right? Or somebody we know of, their doppelganger. And they can be really quite funny. Because, well, you know, and it's funny because I see it so plain. Like when I see a picture, I go, oh my gosh, that looks just like Orlando Bloom. But it's a Titian painting of someone that happened 500 years ago, you know.
And you think the guy in the bear who plays the lead character, whoever that guy is, he could be, like, every time I look at him, he's like a Roman sculpture. He looks like a Roman sculpture that knows. It's just, he reminds me of a Roman sculpture.
I'll see if I can find one.
Yeah, do that.
But I post those on Facebook. So if you want to friend me on Facebook, let me know, though, that you're a listener. Because, you know, if you're just a really good looking guy who, you know, is
working
tree
on
surgeon,
yeah,
you know,
working on oil rig in the middle of the ocean.
And only has pictures of puppies on his Facebook page, I probably am not going to go ahead. But if I know you're a listener, let me know you're a listener, and I will friend you. And then periodically, you will see my doppelganger show up.
Exactly. But just a nice little message would be nice. Just a quick little
message. Just hello. Yeah. I'm a, you know, listener or whatever. So this one, ghost, doppelganger, sleepwalker. All right. Now, if you just give me those three things, you know where I'm going. Any day of the week, that's astral projection.
Oh, I thought you were going to say sleepwalking son.
No, that is a astral projection. So let me hear this story. Let's see if I was even remotely.
And that
close.
Wasn't even one of my options.
Well, I
gave
like
you ghost, doppelganger, or sleepwalking son, and you went for D.
No. I think what we have is they're thinking it's a doppelganger, right? Of someone of their son, when actually it's an astral projection of their son.
And I have read this story, so I will save my opinion until it's over.
Okay, you never go with astral projection anyway, but I think that it can happen.
Okay, so here's the story. It says, I've always believed in the paranormal since I was a little girl. I had my first experience when I was around 10 years old. I've had many experiences since then, but this isn't about me. Instead, I'm writing about an experience my non-believing, skeptical husband had. Before I tell you about this experience, though, I must set the scene with a backstory. We have three children, and at the time, they were a 6-year-old boy, a 9-year-old girl, and a 21-year-old boy. The 21-year-old had been watching movies on DVDs before going to bed. Every night, he would come into our room to pick a movie. We kept our DVD collection in an armoire at the foot of our bed. Of course, there's space between the bed and the armoire, and it is placed at an angle that makes it closer to my corner of the bed. Our TV sits on top of the armoire. The cabinet part houses the DVD collection. The bottom has two drawers for clothes. On this night, the 21-year-old came into our room just like on previous nights to pick a movie. He took one and left after talking with his dad about how well the movie was made and whether or not it was worth watching. Like every other night, my husband and I retreated to one of the other kids' bedroom. Every night, we switched back and forth between the two younger ones' rooms, where we read them stories before putting them to bed. When the little ones were asleep, we left their rooms and met up in our room for our good night's sleep. It is during this sleep time that this experience happened. In the morning, my husband told me that Jesse, our 21-year-old, had entered the room, and my husband woke up to see Jesse looking through the armoire for a DVD. He saw him using the light on his phone to look through the collection. My husband said that he acted like he was still asleep because he didn't want to get into a conversation. Oh, the husband acted. I thought it meant the son acted like he was still asleep. My husband said he acted like he was still asleep because he didn't want to get into a conversation during the middle of the night. He said he peeked and opened his eyes several times to check to see if he was gone, but he was always there. He said that he must have finally fallen back to sleep because the next thing he remembers is waking up in the morning when Jesse wasn't there. I was like, oh, okay, maybe he wanted another movie. Maybe he didn't like the first one or something. I'm sure he didn't mean to wake you. He wasn't mad or anything like that. He was just retelling the story. When Jesse woke up, my husband confronted him and told him that he saw him enter our bedroom and search for a movie. Jesse was confused. He said he never came into our room after getting the initial movie and went to sleep after watching it. My husband insisted, and still does, that Jesse came into our room. He said he saw him looking through the armoire with his phone light. Jesse insisted that he didn't. My husband said that Jesse was sleepwalking. And if you take out the possibility that he, my husband, was dreaming, he will insist that he wasn't. He remembered opening and closing his eyes several times and checking whether Jesse left. Now, another little bit of background knowledge so that you can make an informed decision on your own. Jesse has been known to sleepwalk. He is 21 now and hasn't done it since he was 10. When he did it, he always came to me, woke me up, and talked nonsense. I would walk him back to his bed, and he would stay there for the rest of the night. I don't think a sleepwalker would turn on a phone flashlight, so I don't think the sleepwalking theory pans out. I would go with the dreaming theory, but like I said earlier, I have had my own experiences. One experience I had, which was in a different house, was while in a sleep state. Like my husband, I know I was awake and not sleeping, so I can relate to his insistence. So that leaves one other option, the most far-fetched one, according to most of the population, a ghost or doppelganger. Now, as a true believer in the paranormal, I was still going with dreaming for the answer until I recalled an experience I had had a few weeks prior. As I previously stated, we read to our younger kids, and we lie with them until they fall asleep. For any of you new parents out there, this is all in caps, do not start this with your children. My daughter is 9, and we still do this. Will it ever end? Anyway, I was reading to my 6-year-old when I finished.
It will. I have to break in here. It will end. She's not going to be 35, and you're not going to be doing that. But my daughter had her 32nd birthday yesterday, and I'm going to tell you right now, I wish I could read to her in bed.
Oh.
So with that said, enjoy it, because it doesn't last that long. She's going to be a teenager and not want you around at all pretty soon. And, you know, you're going to wish you had these days back. So enjoy them and read a good book.
And it doesn't sound like her 21-year-old is having them read to him at night. So
No. He's figured out something fun to do at night.
Let's see. Anyway, I was reading to my 6-year-old. When I was finished, I said goodnight, kissed him, rolled over, and went to sleep. Usually, I will fall asleep for a little bit, waiting until he is asleep, then get up and sneak out. On more than one occasion, I too have fallen into a deep, long sleep. My husband will come in and wake me up. On this particular night, I heard him open the door. The door sticks and makes a noise when you open it. It was this noise I heard which woke me up. I was usually tired and didn't want to get up, so I kept my eyes closed. I figured I would get some extra seconds of sleep if I waited until he nudged me. Now, remember that I was thinking all of this while lying there, so I know that I wasn't sleeping. I even opened my eyes once very quickly to see him, but the door was shut and no one was there. I thought, okay, he left. I'll wait till he comes back again. So I continued to lie there, and sure enough, I heard the door open again. This time I heard and felt him walk towards me. I was waiting for him to shake me, but he didn't. This is where it gets really strange. Instead of shaking me, he bent down and gave me the softest, most gentle, passionate kiss I ever received from him. I was like, wow. Before he had a chance to pull away, I opened my eyes. He wasn't there, and the door was closed. I was in total shock and disbelief. I quickly left the room and walked down the hall to my room. My husband was lying in bed waiting for me. I was still in shock. I did my nightly routine and got into bed. Then I told him what happened. He's a skeptic, like I said, so he laughed and said, well, it was a ghost. He knows that I like all that stuff. Later, he said I was dreaming. This all happened before his experience. When I retold him this story after his experience, he still said mine was a dream and Jesse was sleepwalking. What do you think, Jennifer? So, okay, after hearing that, do you go with astral projection?
No. I don't think it fits into this story very well.
I kind of go with the husband on this one. I kind of think
sleepwalking with the sun. And I know that you think that you wouldn't turn on your flashlight, but it's amazing what you can do when you sleepwalk. You can eat food.
Yeah.
Out of the, you can open the fridge.
You can make
a bowl of cereal.
Yeah.
You can do all sorts of things. You can put on your coat. You can go outside. You know, I sleptwalked the only time I know of that I did, and I got up and went into my parents' bedroom, and there was a cot or something that was in my way, and I just picked it up and moved it over and folded it up. You know, I was just like folding up this cot, and they're like, what are you doing? And then they realize I'm sound asleep, you know, folding this whole thing up and folding up blankets and things and putting them away, you know. So you can do things.
Yeah.
You totally can.
I remember our sister Cheryl. See, you weren't living there then because we had moved to another town. And so we're watching TV. It was this little apartment that we lived in. So we're watching TV. And Cheryl gets up. It's like 11 or 12 at night. Cheryl gets up, goes into the kitchen, to the kitchen table, grabs a chair, and sets it in the middle of the room and sits down. And we're all like, what the hell is Cheryl doing? And then we realized, oh, my God, she's sound asleep. She has no idea what she's doing. So she was able to pick up a chair and move it into another room.
And sit on it
without,
you know, falling or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I have a feeling the sun thing, I'm going to go sleepwalking.
And dream. I kind of am with the husband on this one.
I kind of am, too.
Because that was what the sun did every night. And if he does have a history of sleepwalking but hadn't done it for a while, you know, I think different things can bring on a sleepwalking incident.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That's where I'm going with it.
I think I am too.
Okay, so we agree on that one.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, let's go to the next one now that we've solved that one.
Okay.
Says, despite my intense interest in finding proof of the paranormal, I am not sensitive. I consider myself a hopeful skeptic. I haven't heard that term. I like that one.
Yeah.
Over the past few years, I have gone on ghost hunts at several very haunted places, including Gettysburg, Tinker's.
Boy, I'm telling you what, if you're gonna have a ghost experience, it wouldn't happen there.
Right.
Oh, man.
The Tinker Swiss Cottage in Rockford, Illinois. I'm going to have to look that one up. I'm not familiar with that. It says this is a place where Taps visited and had some strange experiences. And even Waverly Hills Sanatorium in Kentucky. which is notoriously known for being haunted. And this is where my only potential ghost experience occurred, was at Waverly Hills. For those who don't know, Waverly Hills was used as a tuberculosis hospital during the early 1900s. It's a massive building with multiple floors. On one side, a long hallway faces windows without glass. This is where patients would be rolled out of their beds to get fresh air. While this setup made sense in terms of limited medical knowledge of the time, it makes ghost hunting a bit tricky because you can hear all sorts of sounds and things from the outside. After all, the windows are fully open. So we went with real ghost hunters, which meant we had access to professional equipment. It also meant we were going to take things very seriously. Before we entered each room, we would use the equipment to mark electromagnetic fields as well as reflective surfaces that might cause us to see something. We also did not use flashlights. It's amazing how well your eyes will adjust to the dark using ambient light. All in all, we were going to make the most of this trip. We spent time in the entire building. While it was very creepy to be in an old building where many people spent their last moments after dark, I didn't experience anything. At one particular moment, my friends and I were sitting in a hallway on the first floor where people reported seeing full-body apparitions along with feelings of dread. We sat down and attempted an EVP session. I was sitting next to my friend Jesse at this time. He was on my left, and he started taking video and snapping pictures of something off to my right. He said he was seeing a shadow figure. I looked and saw nothing. I felt nothing. I was apparently sitting right next to some paranormal being, and I experienced nothing, while that moment really shook up my friend. See, I don't think that's unusual either. I do think that some people are going to pick up on things and some aren't. You're not going to experience everything. Mm-hmm. Later in the night, we moved to an upper floor of the building that was supposed to be haunted by a child spirit named Timmy. We decided to attempt an experiment that none of us had done before, which we were somewhat skeptical about. We referred to it as the flashlight experiment, which anyone who watches ghost hunting shows is probably familiar with. For the experiment, we took a flashlight that you had to twist the head to turn it on or off. We twisted it so that it was between off and on, so no light was shining from it. Then we set it down in the floor of the hallway where Timmy was said to reside, and we walked to the other end of the hallway to make sure we didn't accidentally interfere with the light. While we were getting situated, the light remained off. Then we took our turns asking questions. We went one by one and asked random questions, telling any ghosts that might be around to turn on the light once for yes and twice for no. Nothing happened until I asked if there was a child present. The light turned on briefly, then turned back off. Someone else asked a question, but nothing happened. I'd been the only person to get a response to my question, so I was asked to continue asking things. Every time I spoke, I got a direct answer through the flashlight. No one else had as much luck as I did that night. I'm not going to lie, it was heart-pounding, but after about 15 minutes of this experiment, we decided to end it. I asked to go get the flashlight because I wanted to debunk a few things. The flashlight was still flickering on and off as I walked down the hall with one of my friends, but it was off by the time we got there. To determine whether or not any airflow or wind could have made the light turn on, I got down on my knees and blew directly on the flashlight. Nothing happened. Then we tried stomping on the ground around the flashlight to see if vibrations of some sort could have caused it to roll and turn on. Nothing happened. That was the weirdest, unexplained, potential paranormal experience I've had. And the kicker is that children love me. They have always seemed oddly drawn to me. And if this experiment showed me anything, it is that that might also hold true for child spirits. That's from Dylan. So do you think that the flashlight going on and off could have been an answer? Because, you know, that's a very common technique.
Here's what I think on this one. I think yes. I think 100% yes. And my reasoning in this is that the flashlight was not doing this with anyone else. And it appears from what they're saying here, it was appropriately flashing off and on. Like if you asked a question, it flashed off. It wasn't just flashing off and on when you weren't asking a question. It appears to me from the way the story is written that it was doing it at the right time. Okay, so what are the odds of a flashlight that is just malfunctioning at the perfect time?
And I've seen
every time.
I've seen a lot of videos of people using that investigative tool and the same thing. Like somebody's asking a question and it's responding the way you asked it to respond, but nobody's touching it, nobody's messing with it.
You know, and it's not doing it like before you can finish your question or, you know, whatever. It's doing it at the appropriate moment.
Yes.
Now, I find this hard to believe that that just happens. That a fluky flashlight that's not working quite right and is shorting out would be doing this at the right moment every single time.
And the fact that Dylan loves kids and kids love Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think
they weren't talking to anybody else either, which even makes me think more so that it was directed towards this one person having a channel open with this. A Timmy is who they, you know, think it possibly was. So I definitely think so. Yes. 100%.
Oh, what a creepy place too. I don't know. Ooh. I just don't know that I'd ever be brave enough to do anything like that. Especially
you are not.
Like in a place like Waverly Hills. Ooh.
Yeah. No. You are not brave enough.
I don't think
we
I
maybe
am.
Could manage a daytime go through.
Oh, I could do that. Yes, no problem. And you can still get tons of paranormal experiences during the day.
You can.
But I get really jumpy. You know, when you're in a place like that, it's dark. Like the whole thing about the shadow person that the friend saw that Dylan didn't see, that also could be, you know, you're in this really spooky environment. You're afraid. Mm-hmm. I would be. And I think that you could kind of see things.
Was it there?
I don't know. Could have been.
Yeah. No, I think you could. But this flashlight one, I'm like, it had to happen at exactly the right moment. Only when Dylan was speaking. I just find that to be too big of a coincidence.
And that's why that technique is used so often to investigate the paranormal, because you know, you kind of get this call and response. You're saying this, and then it's responding right back to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that's so interesting.
It is a good one.
Yes, but you're right. I'd be running out the damn door. So if you have a real ghost story, we want to hear it. Call it in anytime, 855-853-4802, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Don't forget, you could be a premium subscriber. Advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or go through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.